Namaste. Hello, listeners. Welcome to the show, to the podcast. This is like the first episode, and I'm your host. You can call me Jack. Let's start off with some things. So I've put out a few podcasts prior via SoundCloud, and then I realized the audience on SoundCloud isn't really gravitating towards podcasters. It's more towards music. So getting a sense of basic knowledge, I decided to expand to the iTunes network, which might be where most of you will be listening to this podcast. That is the audience that pretty much is. Apple has a whole network for podcasters, and I think that's probably the best approach for anyone looking to do a podcast or get into the whole genre, or let alone, better yet, expand your knowledge through the podcast network, which is what pretty much started me in the whole process in the first place. It kind of started with just a generalization of wanting to kind of start talking about different topics and getting them out there in ways that people can hear them a lot more and discuss them and get into communication or get into a group of like-minded individuals and kind of discuss intellectual things, spiritual aspects, and pretty much just a whole podcast based around open-mindedness and, in my opinion, just fun conversations. So the first few of these may just be me talking. I'm absolutely 100% going to be incorporating guests because I can't really sustain maybe a provocative conversation with myself over a long period. I don't know how long these podcasts are going to be. I don't have a distinct length. Some podcasters, they have it more designed like a radio show where they'll have a set time, they'll have guests, they'll have their ads. I don't obviously have any advertisers yet, but I will from time to time mention great products, great companies, basically people that I think have a good product that I would like to share with you guys, you listeners, guys and girls, animals are listening to this while their human caretaker is at work doing other things. Isn't that bizarre? That I always do it myself too, that whenever like I leave the house and my dog's kind of just home chilling, I'll put on like TV or music or something just so she has like some kind of noise that she's not just alone in her own silence. I don't know how animals work or how their brains process, but I would assume they would like to have that sound, that feeling of something with you, even though you're not just, you know, you're just kind of a dog in a house by yourself for 8 hours a day. It's kind of nice just to have that, you know, that feeling. But anyways, so I'm rather young, I guess you could say. I don't really want to preach my age or anything like that, but really, there's no specific age for anybody who's into podcasting. No specific age for somebody to have a certain set of knowledge really at all, because there's people that are like way older that don't even know half the shit I'm going to be talking about, or have not even considered the option of that being a thing. So this is to help spread the knowledge. I mean, there's already like plenty of podcasts out there that are helping spread open-mindedness and bring in these really intellectual conversations and topics. And I'm just really just another seed planting in the garden of knowledge that is spreading out through the amazing advancement of technology, which is going to be something that we're going to talk about, obviously, in depth as the podcast continues. But this is just episode one. This is just the beginning. This is the early stages of the podcast evolution. And that's one thing I really enjoy about the medium of podcasts, is that you can literally see the person and the people grow as the show grows, and it literally evolves just as we humans do, just as any species existing on this earth does. We all evolve. And I guess this is kind of a loaded subject, evolution itself, being that some people, I mean, this is like the only method I've really considered or ever really have considered is the evolutionary process. I mean, what is the alternative to that? I mean, so let's take into account Christianity, right? That's just what is. We'll touch on religion because we're gonna get into it a lot. It's a loaded topic, and there's plenty to share on it. So Christianity, as far as evolution goes, is it just what that Mary and Joseph are the ones that started this? I'm very ignorant when it comes to the in-depth descriptions of or inscriptions. Would that be a better word? Of the Bible, the stories. I don't know much. I know pretty much if you go ask a teenager what he knows about the Bible and Mary and Joseph, Jesus, all that, and he or she will spout their recollection, usually comes from a very biased or just blatantly ignorant standpoint, and that's pretty much the sum of what I would say. I grew up in kind of a Christian background. I hate saying like Christian background because it really wasn't a Christian. Like it wasn't like a huge Christianity. It really wasn't that big of a thing. Like it was big in the sense that my grandparents were huge into it, and the whole family kind of lived in a very close space. Like we all lived in the same kind of adjoining neighborhoods in a small town. So pretty much we were kind of all involved in each other's lives. So you could kind of see like there'd be a stressful kind of side to that and a very, you know, nice, loving, nurturing side to that also. So we would always attend church on Sundays. Me and my other cousins we were all kind of in the same age range. We would all attend Sunday school as we were kids, and that's pretty much just what we did. And we the level that we knew was that God was this high powerful being that people would pray to in order to I don't know, repent for their sins or have some, basically I always thought of it as something, having someone to talk to. I only really deep prayed like maybe twice, maybe three times my whole life. These were all when I was younger because I was already kind of skeptical to the idea. I never really believed that prayers worked. Now, actually, I can come back to it, but I do have a similar kind of theory on what the prayer kind of stands for or what it could be. But anyways, so I didn't really take it that seriously as a kid. Then again, I really wasn't that pushed in our family because my parents, they really weren't religious. I mean, they were more open-minded and kind of, like my father was kind of, he was raised Catholic. It's pretty crazy a little on his side as far as like how far they pushed it. My mom, you know, grew up with my Christian, heavily Christian grandparents, but even they weren't that heavy. They just kind of took the general morals and basic beliefs to like kind of run their lives with, which if you really think about it, all kind of religions have this similar, it's just a set of guidelines, and then adhere to these specific guidelines according to whatever God is beyond or behind those guidelines. So it's really all kind of the same thing. My mom actually, she kind of studied it. She had a whole course about world religions in college. So whenever I have her on the podcast, maybe she can talk a little bit more about it because it's a very interesting conversation. Because you have to go into everything in life, at least I do, and I think everybody probably should. First of all, I'm a really open-minded person. I am very optimistic also, so I will always try to see both sides of every equation. I'm never pessimistic to a certain subject, typically. I will always try to see both sides, so I'm never going to come at something with, like, complete bias, because, I don't know, I try to be fair. So, religion, I feel like we should just go into it with an open mind, know that there are all these different religions out there, and these different principles, and maybe it's not the best idea to adhere to one with blind faith, because essentially it's faith. There's not really any facts behind it. It's just speculating based on scriptures, so which is fine. I mean, we should take it into account as a piece of history and maybe and learn from it what we can, but we should all have our own moral guidelines. I mean, like, that's kind of the thing with atheism. First of all, I don't subscribe to any religious faith. I'm not Christian. I'm not any of that. I'm also not atheist. I'm also not really, I guess if anything, I'd be more towards agnostic, but I'm not. I don't subscribe to any faith. I just I honestly really cherish the values of Buddhism more than anything else. And Buddhism isn't even, it's not even a religion. It's more like a philosophical set of, it's more like a human learning experiment with Buddhism, learning the teachings and applying it to your own life, which we can get into a whole other episode too, about just Buddhism itself, because I love Buddhism. It's a fantastic principles, or they are fantastic principles, and are very, very positively applied in life. And I think that's really appreciated, because like other religions are causing war and like bloodshed over one another, whereas no one's getting stabbed or exploded over Buddhism. It's just Buddhism would almost just be more of meditating on the fact that there is so much crazy destruction, death, greed in the world, and it's pretty much just acknowledging that and being one with the self. It's really deep. Meditation is a great thing too. See, this is just branching for like this whole episode is. There's nothing really to be covered in this first episode. This is more just the general outline of what the podcast is going to be, what I want it to be. And if you're listening to this, and every time I say something with a P, it pops and it drives your ear crazy, I'm sorry. I do have a pop filter. I'm just not using it at the moment. I'm just using my little microphone, so the quality isn't going to be outstanding. The pops are going to be a little annoying, but just bear with me for this one episode, and then I'll have all the technical issues sorted out by the next one. And yeah, I mean, like as all podcasts do, as all humans do, they evolve and we become something better as we grow. So let's talk about a few things, I guess. So that's a little background on me, I guess. As far as what I do, I create electronic music. I basically just compose music. I'm not really I'm not too knowledgeable in the subject of music. I've studied it my whole childhood life, but I didn't really, a lot of it didn't really sink in. But it's like when you kind of have like a passion for something and you just keep working at it until it builds more and more and more. That's essentially what I have. I mean, I'm going to be obviously going, I already do plan on going back to another institution to gain more knowledge, study ethnobotany, study philosophy, and I'm probably going to take some more music theory classes too, because it's important. My whole goal, I guess, in this human existence is to learn as much as I can about the subjects that really interest me regarding science, regarding, you know, philosophy, music. The music is more of a passion more than like a, it's like the inner rhythm that I like to get out. So anyways, I've been dabbling into electronic music since 2012, I believe, when I was still in high school. I was like a junior at the time, and I worked with whatever basic composition software that I had, and I kind of just threw in, it was kind of more like EDM, electronic dance stuff, but really more bizarre. I mean, so if you want to look up my stuff, it's Jack Galactic, J-A-K Galactic. You can find it on SoundCloud. I have links to literally all of my social sites on the SoundCloud page. So if you go on there, you can see all my sites. I have Twitter, I have Tumblr, I have all that good stuff. Tumblr, actually, I should mention, I have a blog on Tumblr called Scripts in Space, which is where I'll be sharing. I have been sharing. I post intellectual things, posts that kind of train the brain to think about different things, or just things I really find interesting that you may find also interesting and or want to share with other people. So that's what I tend to do, or I have been doing on Tumblr. It's not like a lot of blogs, not a lot of writing. I do some posts where I'll do some writing, but it's typically more just sharing cool things. So that's where you can find that. Again, all the links are on SoundCloud. Jack Galactic. And I'm also working on new music, too, that I plan to release within the month, within this February of 2016. Holla! It's been a lot of work. You may go through a lot of my music on SoundCloud and find that it may sound a little rushed, weird. I'm not expecting anybody to like it for what it is, but it pretty much is like my own personal sound incorporated into these kind of psychedelic trances, beats, bass. A lot of it is inspired from psychedelic experiences, life experiences. The music kind of, it goes into that, whereas I feel like a lot of modern music is, or a lot of modern EDM stuff doesn't, kind of lacks that the energy, you know. It's more just, because it's a huge moneymaker now, the EDM industry, and I had I was at a point in the music making process where I could have taken a route which went right into EDM and just made strictly that music. But I'm glad I did, because now I hear it, and a lot of it, like, it's just, if it's all just the same genre just being pumped out all the time, it's just, it kind of gets too repetitive, and it kind of, kind of loses it for me. Don't get me wrong, I would kill to go to a rave, and that music is like my shit. I can get down to that all the time. But as for me, as a, you know, composer, as a musician, I gotta go my own route, and that's what I tend to do with my music. So, like it for what it is, but just a little note, the stuff that I'm coming out with is going to be a lot different sounding than what my other stuff is. I put a lot more work into this stuff, and it's going to sound a lot different, but not to go off on a huge plug for myself, that's where you can find it. SoundCloud.com, Jack Galactic, same thing on Twitter too, you can follow me on there. All that stuff. Anyways, let's get back to interesting podcast shit, not personal music shit, so... Lucid dreaming. You ever do it? It's really it's a freaking cool thing. Pretty much, take a dream, right? You have a dream. Now imagine becoming aware in that dream that what you're doing, what you're seeing and interacting in, is a dream, and thus realizing that gives you the ability to then control that dream, thus lucid dreaming. And it's something that's very, I'm not going to say very difficult, because a lot of people can do it, like, no problem. I'm still kind of struggling. For example, like, I've always been kind of engulfed by my dreams to the point where no matter how bizarre, how off the walls that dream was, I still kind of just went along with it. Like, it was more like I was watching a movie and I was the main character. So you kind of just let the script write itself at that point, and you're just along for the ride, like a roller coaster. You have your climaxes, you have your weird instances, and then it drops down, and then you resolve and you wake up. So that's like, I've never really, like, the idea of then being able to be like, oh wait, I'm not supposed to be in this fucking other world where I don't exist. It doesn't make any sense. Let me control this. Let me wake up. There's a lot of things to consider to prevent yourself from actually waking up and then losing out on the dream. It's so much behind it. Let me just go ahead and give a little shout out to some supplements that have actually helped with the process. If you guys look up Dreamleaf, these two guys made these lucid dreaming supplements. That essentially take you right into the lucid dreaming state and allow you to reach that really easily. And I got like a bottle of them. They're like 30 capsules per bottle. They probably run about $30 or $40. They were pretty beneficial. You can get them on their site or on Amazon. But essentially, there are two pills: the blue pill and the red pill. And if you've ever seen The Matrix, then this just sounds like really cool, and it really was cool in that sense. So like I might be getting these the mix or the pill wrong for what it does, but either the red pill or the blue pill. I'm gonna go with the red pill. The red pill first. You take that 3 to 4 or 15 minutes before you go to sleep. And now, as you would do if you were not taking these supplements. For instance, you would just, to get into the lucid dreaming state, all you would have to do is kind of like let your brain get a little loose where, as you're going to sleep, keep telling yourself, that you will go lucid tonight, that it's going to happen. Kind of assure yourself that you will be getting in a lucid dreaming state. And then what you do is you set your alarm to wake you up 3 to 4 hours in your dream state while you are in the REM state, REM. And that's like when your brain, like when you're going into like more of a deep sleep, I believe. And then as you awake, just you need to stay awake for maybe like 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. Just lay there. Think about a place. Think about anywhere you want to go. Kind of visualize the dream. And then you either go back to sleep or you take the blue pill at this point if you're taking these supplements. And then you drift off. And then boom, you're there. You're in that lucid dreaming state. And then you can control it. You can fly. You can go different places. Just go on the website for Dreamleaf and check out these guys. Check out their product. Very cool stuff. I will say the only side effect I had with the product, which may or may not go against your decision for purchasing this, you kind of have a slight hangover the next day. Now, this could differ depending on when you go to sleep, which then will determine when you take the pill. So the longer sleep you have, the better, essentially. And I probably took it too late in the morning, which then kind of had some hangover effects from the process of the pill. I will say that you cannot take the pills while you are waking and experience any hallucinogenic effects. It won't happen. I remember someone asked me whenever I was giving them a couple of pills so they could try it, and they're like, if you take this whenever you're like awake, will you trip out? And I was like, no, sorry. Yeah, it does not work like LSD or psilocybin mushrooms, unfortunately. They are only for invoking a lucid dreaming state and to only really be used in that sense. Otherwise, it won't make any sense. It won't do anything for you. It could be bad, even. So the hangover feeling, I remember I was at work the next day, and this is when I used to work at a warehouse. I was like reading a piece of paper, and like my vision was kind of blurry. And I was like, what the fuck? Kind of a small headache, but mostly just like the vision, like the close-up vision was kind of impaired. Not to an extreme, just a little funky. So that's the only downfall I've had of the supplements. Otherwise, they were totally fine. They worked perfectly well. They did let me experience more vivid dreams. Of course, to completely become lucid, you have to kind of train yourself to do that. It's not really something that a supplement, regardless of what it is, can really invoke. That's kind of more up to you. So that's that. All right, so we're at about like 23 minutes or so. Let's talk about one more thing. We'll keep it kind of short, I guess, this time, just because I'm kind of rambling on about nonsense. But you know what, guys? This is the first podcast. This is the first time we are all hanging out together. Maybe you're listening to this while you're driving. Maybe you're listening to it when you're just chilling at home, doing some homework or something. Who knows? A lot of the things I'm saying right now don't really have any factual background. I mean, this episode doesn't really count because I'm not really talking about any specific topic. I'm just kind of talking, more or less talking out of my ass. So it's just kind of going to be, you know, riffing. So let's talk about technology. So I'm kind of curious about, you know, it's advancing so much, technology is. And if you'll notice, I mean, even listening to this podcast, we now have the ability to read or to do anything via the internet in the palms of our hands. Like now we are becoming so, we've made technology, we're not so advanced, but we've made technology so advanced to the point where it's almost eliminating a lot of human needs, a lot of human attributes, I guess you could say. AI, artificial intelligence, is growing to a very intelligent speed, and it's a little scary because it's almost like we are evolving to create another species. Because technology is, whenever it becomes its own being, whenever artificial intelligence is going to be so intelligent that it can completely replicate a human behavior and also be smarter than a human, because it's going to have all knowledge accessible to its working, I guess, infrastructure. So this is going to be a very smart species of technology, which is already running our lives. It's already out there. It's already taking over, and we're not really seeing it, but it's evolving at such a fast rate that, I mean, it's just like, it's a little scary because we don't know what's going to happen with this, really. All we can really do is predict what's going to happen, but it looks, I would say, maybe give or take 10, 20, 30 years, it's going to be everywhere. We're going to be having robots in our lives running things. I mean, look at this. We have the Google car, right, that can actually drive itself. Okay. Now, just grasp that idea. A car that can drive itself with no human interaction necessary. This is a completely functioning vehicle. Through technology. And you guys may have heard this, maybe not. He was part of this big research project. I'm really going to be butchering this story because I'm not sure of the names or anything associated with it. But anyways, there's this guy. Look it up on Google if you can. use your hand computer to put this story into Google and see what pops up. So essentially, this guy, he was part of a big research project, like he might have been a scientist, or it might have not even been a scientist. Anyways, this guy was like, he was big in something really serious, government related, right? And he had one of these cars that has like a computer in it, which, I mean, you know, all cars do. But this computer was able to be hacked, right? So this guy, like a week prior to this incident, was saying he was kind of fearful for his life, right? He was kind of like nervous that somebody may be hunting him down. Now, that's a quite a big hunch that he may be getting whacked by somebody, some kind of higher official, because of the knowledge that he had about said subject, which I'm not, you know, sure. But so he was driving his car, and then all of a sudden the car took a hold of itself. It started driving itself, it accelerated to a very high speed, and then slammed into a fucking tree. And the guy just, died instantly. I would hope, for fuck's sake, is that, Jesus, that sounds terrifying. So, this car was hacked, and actually there's a video of it on YouTube you can see. Maybe just search, and let me see if I can find it. Google car, or... These guys, they did a test. Yeah, I don't know. Researchers hack into driverless car system. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So these cars can be hacked into, and then they can be, you know. So the video that I saw, I don't know where it is. It can be, like, these guys, they did a test. So the guy was driving on the road with cameras in the car, and these other dudes from, like, back at their base were, like, on a computer. They hacked the car. They rolled the windows down. They cranked up the stereo to where the driver could not adjust anything in the car. He had no way of controlling what was going on to the car. So what the guys were doing at base, they were fucking with the car. And the guy was driving on the highway, and then they just shut the car down. The car just dropped its speed right on the highway. And this is just an example of what is going to be available to all of us. I mean, it's already out there. I mean, we can drive these cars, and anybody can hack into them. They control them. This is a little scary. Now, this is a little, you know, two-sided, right? So let's look at technology as a whole. This is a human invention, at least as far as we know. Maybe aliens came down and they brought it to us, which is another theory too, that aliens do live here and that they are being analyzed by us, and we are like, and they're also giving us technology and exchange for like human test subjects that like they get tested on and then sent back to wherever they were from with no memory of what happened. Look that up too. I'm not sure what that's under. Let's look up aliens existing. Fucking, you can find thousands of things. So technology as a whole, we invented it. I mean, humans created this piece of technology that has evolved over the years. Like what? I mean, like probably like it's more recent, right? I mean, computers kind of started like back in the 80s, maybe like late 70s. I feel like it was like the 80s when the first computers kind of started being brought around, the big wall computers. So this was just, it's more recent innovation. And cell phones started kind of in the early 2000s. I mean, we had like the bricks and everything like back in the late 80s, I think, as far as cell phones go. But then they evolved. You know, we had the flip phones, and then we had the flat face phones, and then we had the touch screens. Then Apple took a huge market with like the iPods, iPads, everything touchscreen. And now it's just, now we have AI. Look up Singularity University. Put that in Google. Check out their site. Let me do it really quick because I don't want to get anything wrong with these guys. Essentially, these guys, I think they are, so it's a California benefit corporation, part university, part think tank, part business incubator located in Silicon Valley, whose stated aim is to educate, inspire, and empower leaders to apply exponential technologies to address humanity's grand challenges. It was founded in 2008 by Peter Diamandis and Ray Kurzweil in NASA Research Center, Research Park, California. So yeah, check these guys out. These guys are like, they have the like leading advanced technologies, like as far as robots go, anything you can think of, virtual reality, these guys got it. And it's very compelling, very interesting that they've already got all this shit. So back to my original point. So look at technology as a whole. It's a human invention, right? And so it's more like, look what we've done. We've created robots. We've created artificial life, which another possibility is whenever it's going to be able to be conscious, you know, like when a consciousness, we're a soul, if you believe in that sort of thing, if a soul could then manifest itself in these artificial bodies, these robots, and then act as a live being, but a super intelligent being. So that's probably just even possible. It's in its own. So there's the one side, right? We've created all this stuff. We've come so far as humans to create things, which, in my opinion, are just making us lazier as a species. I mean, if you look back to hunter-gatherer times, we had natural predators. We were populating to keep our species like evolving, to keep us staying alive, because we were always dying, whether it be from like other humans or animals that were fucking just tearing everybody up, or diseases even. They were spreading like wildfire back then. So the whole reason we were all fucking each other and producing so much was to pretty much keep our name around, to keep us alive, to keep our human species from dying off so quickly. And you look at it now, in like 2016, I mean, population is off the charts. I mean, it's nuts. People are just out of control humping, and there's really no sense behind why we shouldn't, except for like the facts that, I mean, come on, we're doing it a little too much. Everyone's so set on that nuclear family mindset where they have the securities that they need. They have the houses, they have the wives, they have the kids. They have the homes, the wealth, all of this. Like, it's like a whole new society that we've created to where we can have all these riches, all these desires, and not have to worry about natural predators anymore, because we've alienated ourselves so much from nature and from like the savageness of it that we had nothing to really fight off anymore except for ourselves, because it's from from time to time, every now and then, a fellow human will go insane and tend to use a weapon or some sort to fucking kill people. And that's just fucked up. That's the way it is. But it just seems like we've kind of lost touch of our roots, you know? I mean, this goes to, like, any kind of, If you, let's talk about, I mean, we'll eventually get into psychedelics, because I'm pro psychedelics, pro cannabis, all that, very much. We should always be respecting plants. Always. I mean, these things have more knowledge than we can really fathom. Most people, they achieve higher states of consciousness or enlightenment through the use of psychedelics, which yours truly has done. I really changed my whole viewpoint on life after my really potent LSD experience just last year, actually. Just like last December, that's when it really happened, which I'll get into in another podcast. We'll do a whole episode, it's probably regarding psychedelics and all that jazz. But like even ayahuasca, like this indigenous plant form, this combination that inhibits DMT to be orally active, which DMT, dimethyltryptamine, is a substance, I guess. I'm really kind of spotty on the right word for it. It's a compound essentially, and it's found in our brains, in our pineal gland. Our brain naturally produces this compound DMT, and when you take you can smoke it, by the way. You can smoke DMT. It's found in the acacia trees. I mean, it's found in all different plants in nature. You can find it through there. And you can smoke it, and then it gives you this hallucinogenic trip that lasts about 10 to 15 minutes. And it literally blasts you off into another dimension. Now, I haven't done it yet, personally. I will at some point. That is like the golden gold of psychedelics that you could probably... That's like the most potent psychedelic that exists out there. And if you want to learn more about it, I recommend, for those who have Netflix or for those who buy DVDs, which I still applaud, look up DMT, the spirit molecule. And that is by, what's the name? I'm spotty on it. Damn it. I gotta look it up really quick. I forgot his name. This scientist, he did a series of studies testing DMT on some patients. And he wrote a book on it. You can read the book too. I'm totally blasting on his name. Rick Strassman. There we go. So Rick Strassman, he wrote this. He wrote the book about his trials, testing DMT on the subjects, and the documentary is great because it actually has a lot of very intellectual people discussing their trips and their experiences and some knowledge on it. Some names off the top of my head. Graham Hancock, a very, very, very smart guy. Look up some of his books. He was a journalist. Now he's just an author. But he walks the walk in his field. And if you read Fingerprints of the Gods, he talks about discoveries basically proven against history. Because history is outdated and it's false, and we still continue to adapt these specific ways of learning when the truth is actually out there and it's found and it's then discussed and proven the right way through Graham. And you can also read his newer book too, Magicians of the Gods, which he wrote with the partnership of, what's his name, Randall Carlson. They did some traveling together in most of North America, if I'm correct, and they did some research, or they were talking about some flood issues or like some I'm really butchering this. I'm trying to recall off the top of my head what the book's about, because I haven't read the book yet and I'm still reading Fingerprints of the Gods. But like tidal waves, asteroidal impacts, different earthly things. So if you're really interested in geology, archaeology, and the truths about it, and some really interesting points, just check out Graham Hancock. Another name, an important name in the psychedelic community, if you're familiar with Terence McKenna, which I really, I wouldn't say necessarily infatuated by, but I really enjoy his lectures, and he's a great speaker, a lot of interesting stories and theories. But his brother, Dennis McKenna, he's a very well-known ethnobotanist from, I forget where from. I think he may have studied in California. I'm not sure. But he was, he guest starred in the DMT, the Spirit Molecule, discussing DMT and ayahuasca. Him and Terrence, if you read Dennis's book, The Brotherhood of the Screaming Abyss, which you can get through Amazon, he discussed him and Terrence's trips to La Torreira, which I believe is in Brazil or somewhere in South America, if I'm correct. And they did a series of psilocybin mushrooms, magic mushroom trips, and he discussed that in length. And very good, very cool stuff. So check that out. I kind of want to wrap this up here. So I was kind of getting way off track with technology. Kind of got into psychedelics and such. So yeah, technology is—it's you know—it's ever evolving. It's going to become something that we're not even going to fathom what it's going to be. But I think a lot of us know what's going to happen. I mean, it's already evolving enough the way it is, like at really high rates of speeds. It's just—I don't know. It's just kind of hard to, I mean, like, go back 10 years, 20 years to predict where we are now. I mean, it's almost, I mean, some of it's on point, some of it's a little absurdist, but for the most part, I mean, we're really advanced right now. We are the most advanced, as we believe, but I think, like, the Greeks, like, 3,000 years ago were just as advanced as we are today. I don't know. I feel like we've just kind of limited our potential. I mean, there was actually this quote from Einstein where he said, I may be butchering this, so I'm kind of paraphrasing, but he's like, I fear the day that technology will run our lives. Let me just pull up that quote, because I don't want to butcher this. It's a really, really good quote. Yeah, here we go. Quote from Albert Einstein. I fear the day that technology will surpass our human interaction and the world will have a generation of idiots. Boom. Right there. That's it. That's it. That is the golden saying of knowledge. And it's 100% true because it's happening right now. We are all, I shouldn't say all of us, but we are really becoming stupider and stupider. We have the point where we're at the point where we don't have to work really at anything, because we don't have to go to a library because we have Google. We don't have to the internet literally just it runs everything. That is the ultimate source of knowledge, and I love it. I'm not against it in any way, shape, or form, but we almost have to treat it as if it's a drug. You know, we have to moderate ourselves, because if we let it control our lives too much, then we will become a victim to it, which we kind of already are. So it's kind of like finding room to kind of grow and suppress this ever-growing technology that is in our hands, you know. It's something so easy to corrupt and to be corrupted by that we have to really be careful how we use this. And, I mean, in media, I mean, ad companies, really a lot of the companies, they don't give a fuck about, you know, what is right for us because they want to make their money and they want to get it out to us in whatever way they can. So this is why psychedelics are, to go back to that, this is why psychedelics are so demonized in the Western culture, is because these compounds will let us see a light that we cannot see in our everyday life. I mean, it will invoke a sense of realization to our current existence and the everything around us. Because guys, when you really get down to it and you really see us for what we are, we're all just one. We're all just complex molecules in a giant meat body that is here because of exploded stardust, or because we are stardust essentially. So an exploded star kind of made us. I think that probably goes back to the Big Bang theory, which I do believe. And then we're here. And then we are all just one. My personal theory is that we're all just souls. We're all just energy manifesting ourselves in these human life forms to then live this human experience. As I call it, you know, the human experience. You know, that's what this is. This is no other. We're not living a dog experience. We're not living a deer experience. We're living the human experience. And we are doing things according to what we do, what we can do physically and mentally in this body. And some of us abuse this power. Some of us take it lightly and learn from it. And that's what we ultimately should be doing. You know, putting out as much positive energy as we can, because we're all just one. And there's a lot of us in this current world, so it's best to, you know, find a sense of light and positivity in all of this, and live your life to your fullest, and treat everybody with respect. When it comes down to it, I mean, usually the people that are putting off the negative energy typically have their own demons they're fighting with in their own self, in their own life, and that's just the truth of it. And you know what, we're all trying to go through this experience to get together and with ourselves, and there's a lot to learn in this lifespan. So it's good to take what we can from it and spread to others knowledge and important shit, you know. Learn things. We're on this planet, let's learn about it, let's figure things out. And guys, that is what I plan to do with this podcast, is to figure shit out and figure it out with you guys and help spread the knowledge and help spread the conversation. And that's it. That's all for today. This is the whole episode. Wow, we got up to like 48 minutes, almost an hour of talking. Wow, just me talking. So yeah, this has been the podcast. Maybe the next episode I will have a guest. Hopefully I will. I don't have a set schedule on when I'm going to release these. Just subscribe on iTunes, and then you'll know whenever I do. So yeah. All right, thanks for listening, all of you who did. This has been a great time. I enjoy talking about these things, and hopefully you enjoy learning about these things and discussing them with yourself and your peers, because that's, you know what, that's fun. These are the conversations that we should be having, guys, these intellectual conversations. And this one wasn't even too intellectual. This kind of like dipped the toes into the intellectual pool of amazement. Boom, there we go. So this was the first episode. This was the pilot, if you will. More to come, much more to come, more guests to come, more topics to flow. Guys, this is just starting. The evolution has just begun of the podcast. So yeah, check it out on iTunes. I don't have a name for it yet, but I'll have a name by the time this gets released, obviously. So check it out on iTunes. Subscribe if you want to see more of this or hear more of this. I'll be putting this on YouTube also. You can see it on YouTube and on SoundCloud. All three, you're going to have access. You're going to have iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube for access for this podcast to listen to it and to download it as you please. And if you want to listen to my music, my musical creations of oddness and weird electronic composition, go check out Jack Galactic, JAKGALACTIC. I spelled that wrong. GALACT. Oh, I spelled it right. Yeah, Jack Galactic. You guys know how to spell. You guys are smart. I know. I believe in you. So check that out. on SoundCloud. I have the same handle on Twitter if you want to follow me on there. Remember, I do have a blog on Tumblr where I do post intellectual things. Things as I talk about on this podcast, you will find in internet page and picture form on a site called Tumblr for blogging and other sorts. And links to videos on YouTube to help spread cool things around. Guys, you are missing out. Follow that Tumblr page. Get some cool things in your brain. Learn about some cool shit. I never really was on Tumblr that much until more recently. And then I was like, oh, wow, I can put all this cool shit on one forum. Without having to make a Reddit page, without having to make a website, I can have it all on Tumblr. So, boom. Cool stuff. All right, so the first episode is done. We are out, guys. Thanks for listening. You're all awesome. Peace, love. Go hug somebody and spread the love, everybody. Peace.